Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on a dynamite Wednesday evening with you here for the full four. I saw a little bit of the clip, by the way, Jarvis. They did a little preview clip of Austin's A&E biography that's going to happen, and they played. I saw a clip online of, the video right after he took the botched pile driver from Owen Hart at SummerSlam '97. That's the thing that really screwed his career up physically. Where he broke his neck and was out for a while and all that, and it really kind of long term was the downfall physically of Austin, that botched pile driver at SummerSlam. And just they show some behind the scenes, and he was talking a little bit about it, and Mick Foley had a comment. So these should be pretty good. You know, these should be pretty good. They get all the major hitters involved and talk to all the relevant parties for all of it. So the music cranked up there just kind of got me thinking about all of that. We are asking you to download the Radio.com app, the Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in your vehicle as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the radio station and the show. How do you do it? Simplest way, Odyssey.com app. We want you to put that on your device today, right? Smartphone, Alexa speakers, tablet, Laserdisc, Commodore 64, Casio watch, Palm Pilot. I don't know what your device is. Just download it into something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, that of course, at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there on the other side of the glass from me. He's hanging out with us here this evening. Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90. We've got a lot of things to get into here this evening. So first off, we will be joined coming up in the next segment. We're going to spend a few minutes, and this guy's really busy. Locking him down has been real fun. We'll talk to our buddy Kevin Egan. Of course, Atlanta United takes care of business yesterday in the second leg of the CONCACAF tournament. They, of course, advance now and move on as they get ready for action coming up on Saturday as MLS season will get started and get underway. And obviously, if you're a wrestling fan, you now see Kevin on WWE. He is the backstage interviewer for Monday Night Raw. So we'll ask him because how Kevin Egan of all people, and we always joke that he's got that good Southern accent, Southern Wales. But anyway, we'll talk to Kevin Egan for a little bit coming up in the next segment. Also, too, we will talk to our buddy as Hawks get ready for action tomorrow night. Hawks back at it against the Milwaukee Bucks. A couple of nice back-to-back wins shorthanded for the Hawks. Now back home to take on Giannis in Milwaukee. My guy, my former partner, Sam Mitchell, is going to join us. So we will talk to him as we get ready for Hawks basketball. A little bit going around the NBA as we always do. It's funny. I spent Sam and I had a longer conversation off air about the Falcons draft and the NFL and everything else. Sam is such a big sports guy. And, boy, Jarvis, we had a lot of good memories, you know, a lot of good times. Jarvis was, you know, one of the producers for when Sam and I were together. That was one of Jarvis's first gigs with us was before. That was about the time Jarvis spilled coffee on the board.
Was that there?
Downstairs.
Was that around that time?
Well, all that, because we were downstairs. That was all eighth floor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that was all eighth floor stuff. So
that was that Nancy's pizza as a pregame for the show.
Oh, yeah, listen. Yeah.
Or during the show, too.
We had, you know, because we did some 10 to 2 a.m.s, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and, excuse me, we did some 2 to 6 a.m.s. And those 2 to 6 a.m.s were funny because come about 5 o'clock, it was a contest to see how much of Sam's eyes could stay open that final hour. That was always the game was, okay, let's see if Sam for this last hour, how long he can stay awake. Because he would have those, he'd be in the middle of a segment, even talking, and those eyes would start to close come about 5, 5:30. So we'll talk to Sam. It's one of my brothers, man. He, great dude, and of course, loved spending my time and really helped me kind of cut my teeth and doing all this. And he's obviously done a lot of great things with NBA TV, SiriusXM, TSN. He does a lot of stuff with TSN. He was actually part of the broadcast last night for the Raptors in that game. So, which is TSN? If you don't know, that's the Canadian ESPN. Is what that is. They do a lot of stuff. They do a lot of wrestling stuff on TSN up there as well. They've had some good shows over the years up there. So we'll talk to Sam coming up here in a little bit as well. Braves, of course, we are just a couple minutes away from first pitch. Charlie Morton on the mound tonight. Braves need a win. Braves need to find a win. It's been back-to-back losses. And, you know, obviously the Braves got robbed Sunday night against the Phillies, okay. But, you know, extra innings lost the other night to the Marlins, pounded last night. Adam Duvall went off. I mean, Braves got to get together, man. It's time to start winning some ball games, especially against teams like the Marlins. You know, you don't want to give away a bunch of games to them. So Braves hoping to try to split this series with the Marlins. They need to win the next two before they head out and get on the road, and they'll be in Chicago to take on the Cubs coming up this weekend. How's Craig Kimbrel doing, by the way? Anybody seen what he's doing? Oh, okay. Is that another one of those put on your list, Jarvis, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Apology text line or whatever? Anyway, so we'll keep you up to date on everything going on with the Braves as Charlie Morton will take the hill. Now, bad news for the Braves as both Christian Pache and Max Fried go on the 10-day IL. We knew Pache had gone on there pretty quickly. We knew that last night. Fried, of course, I'm not going to say that there's gamesmanship because he did tweak that hamstring running between second and third. Also interesting when, you know, you've got a guy that is struggling on the mound, how, you know, timing's everything in life, right? Let's put it this way. It's a good time to go get away for a few days and just recoup and get your mind right and everything like that, because it's not been a good start for Max Fried. That's the understatement of the year so far in baseball is, yeah, it's not exactly been a good start for Max Fried. So getting away for a little bit, get healthy, get healed up, whatever it takes, get your mind right, you know, whatever you got to do. So we're going to see a whole bunch of Ender. They called up some outfielder, but you know Snit, it's going to be Ender. He's going to ride Ender for a lot out there. So it is what it is. Braves need to win tonight, though. They need a good, strong performance out of Charlie Morton, who was real good his last time out. They need Morton to step up, get a big win. Let's get a few runs and beat this Marlins team, because you don't want to give too many games to some of these bottom feeder teams in your division, and especially when you're talking about being at home as well. So we keep you up to date on everything going on with the Atlanta Braves. NCAA has voted according to the rumor and innuendo. Now, the NCAA is meeting right now. They will not be done until the end of tomorrow with their meetings. But there were some people who spoke on condition of anonymity that one of the things that this two-day meeting has going on is the NCAA Division I Council is voting to change the rule about players transferring, student-athletes transferring, and having to sit out for a year. So they're looking at going ahead and getting – and this has been like 4 years in the making, so I don't know why it's taken so long, but the one-time transfer rule – for basketball and in football. So basically what we're talking about is it's football, men's and women's basketball, men's ice hockey, and baseball, where you have the one-time free transfer rule available. And football obviously being at the forefront of all of this, but you can transfer, doesn't matter where, whether it's in conference, out of conference, transfer and not have to sit for a year. Now, other sports have had this. So if you're a golfer or a wrestler, you've had this available to you, but the idea is to allow kids to have a one-time free transfer and be able to play immediately. So no hearings or anything like that. Now, if you transfer again, then you're subject to all of that, but you get a one-time free transfer. Why this has taken so long? 3 years ago, the ACC proposed all of this, voted on it. The Big Ten, because the ACC did it, a year and a half ago? Now, about a year and a half ago, I think it was, that the ACC did it. Big Ten, like 2 or 3 years ago, voted on this. The NCAA shot it down. For what reason, I have no idea, other than let's keep pretending that, you know, they're student-athletes and all that kind of stuff. So this has been a long, drawn-out process. Why it's taken so long, why the wheels of change have to grind so slowly out there, I'll never understand, especially when it comes to the NCAA. But this is going to be a big year for the NCAA because one-time transfer, we know about the Alston versus the NCAA case. That will wrap up, and we'll get a decision on that in the middle of summer, maybe, you know, sometime after the 4th of July. We'll get a decision on that and what the model will look like for amateur athletics moving forward. Name, image, and likeness is still out there on the table. You know, I think the hope was that they would have this thing voted on by the time the new, you know, athletic season started. So maybe August, September, we'll have a clearer picture of what that's going to be. If the states don't act quicker on it, we've already had states that have proposed laws and put things in place already quickly on all of that. So, but it's going to be a big year for the NCAA and how the model of what collegiate athletics looks like at all levels, all sports, things like that, what it looks like moving forward. And this is one of those things that should have been easy, should have been a no-brainer. Like I said, years in the making, but it looks like by the end of tomorrow, so maybe by Friday, maybe either late tomorrow or Friday, we'll have maybe official word that this has been voted on, passed, and they can get it going for all of it. So again, why these changes are so slow to take place and to happen, but we understand why. We understand what the NCAA is not in the business of student athletes and things like that, right? Everybody understands that they're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that pulls in $900 some million a year, and they were just going to distribute out $613 million for the NCAA basketball tournament. So they're in it for themselves. I mean, Mark Emmert and them, they can say whatever they want, but they're in it for themselves, and they want to reap the benefits off of everybody else's work. Coaches, buildings, facilities, all that, we don't worry about you, but, you know, we want to make sure that we have the control over the people that actually generate the revenue and sell the jerseys and the merchandise and everything. You can't sell it. You know, how foolish of you to think you could sell your jersey. We can sell it, but you, no, come on now. That's ridiculous. I'm not recording this. So anyway, we'll find out the vote for all of that as well. So we got a lot to get into. Like I said, we will talk to Kevin Egan coming up here about 7:25 that we will talk with him as Atlanta United does move on and we get MLS action coming up on Saturday. So they will go against Orlando City. We saw Yosef Martinez get the start yesterday. He played 65 minutes. So, you know, obviously trying to get his sea legs back and underneath him and get back in the flow. I thought he was fine. I mean, we talked yesterday about Alexi Lawless wasn't very impressed in this, that, and the other, but I'm not exactly sure what he thinks, you know, in only a second match back in over a year. It was his first start. He only played, I think it was, about 30 minutes in that first leg of CONCACAF and didn't start. He came off the bench in that. So, look, it's going to take him a little bit of time. We have to have some patience. New manager, a lot of new guys on the roster. I don't believe Franco is still available as of yet, but hopefully he will be here in the mix soon. So, you know, a lot of excitement. Some of the buzz of Atlanta United starting to come back. I think, you know, these two matches really helped out. Okay, feels like Atlanta United's, you know, it hasn't been pretty and it's not been, you know, 5-0 or anything. But, you know, one nice thing about, you know, these kinds of tournaments, as long as your aggregate's right, then you move on. Now, I don't care if it's 1-0 or whatever. Just, you know, do what you got to do. What's the term? Survive in advance. Survive in advance if you're Atlanta United. So they'll be in action coming up on Saturday. Our first chance to have some action right here on 92.9 The Game. When we get back, we will spend a few minutes talking with our buddy Kevin Egan, the now, not just Atlanta United broadcaster, but now with the WWE. It's all next. Chuckery hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Dynamite Wednesday. Sports Radio 910 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out on the Dynamite Wednesday, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. We'll talk to our buddy Kevin Egan coming up here. Just a couple of minutes. Braves getting started right now. Literally the first batter is up right now. Charlie Morton on the hill. Basically the same lineup as last night, but obviously we just talked about Pache is out, and Morton's already struck out the first batter. Pache out, Enciarte in. So Ronnie, Freddie, Marcel, Darnot, Ozzy, Dansby, Riley, Enciarte, and Charlie Morton is your batting order for this evening as game two of the tweaked lineup that y'all told me they wouldn't be doing yet. Anyway, so we won't go back to all of that out there. But and the Braves need a victory, as we said. You know, they need a big performance out of Charlie Morton. Would be nice to see the middle of the lineup continue to get the things going. You know, Zuna finally broke through with a home run, and he's got a few RBI now. So trying to get the middle of that order cranked up and going. There's some interesting analytics, if you will, sabermetrics, metrosexual stats about Ronald Acuna and just his plate discipline and things like that. Because obviously he is just red hot on fire right now with the .429 batting average thus far. You know, he's done everything imaginable for this team. And, you know, I'm telling you, you know, I think he won. I do think he's going to be 40-40 this year. I think that is something that he is most definitely trying to achieve and trying to get. And I think, you know, being able to play right field, I just think physically it will be much less of a toll on him to not have to play center field. And I think that is really, you know, going to help him both on the bases, both being able to play, you know, enough games. You know, he's been a guy that's battled a little bit of injury here and there, and obviously last year had to do it. And, you know, it's tough. You know, center field is one of those tough positions in baseball. You know, anywhere when you get up the middle from catcher, shortstop, second, center field, man, there's a reason why if you're great defensively up the middle in baseball that, you know, you can be a really good team. So, you know, playing center field is not an easy position. So when you have guys that are center fielders that are both great offensively and defensively, man, those are rare commodities, man. Those are valuable jewels and gems to have as somebody that can do something like that. So Ronnie's been on fire thus far, .429, .490 on-base percentage. Is .881 slugging? Is that pretty good? Yeah, I'd say so. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about the Braves and what they have going on as well. Also, too, as we said, Hawks coming up tomorrow night as they're back home with Milwaukee. And only two games left against Milwaukee, so we talk about those top teams in the Eastern Conference, Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Well, they don't have any more games with Brooklyn. They've got two with Philadelphia that'll both be on the road. They've got two with Milwaukee that both those games will be at home. So at least with the Bucks, you get them at home. And the Hawks right now in a really nice spot in the number four seed. And look, and we'll talk to Sam Mitchell about this coming up a little bit later in the show. But to say that the Hawks are the fourth best team in the East is not any kind of stretch. And yeah, I know the injuries and what they've had to battle thus far and the coaching change and everything like that. But the fact that they've weathered the storm through all of these injuries, and we keep waiting for that, okay, when are we going to get everybody back? When does everybody come back? We keep waiting for that. And, of course, at this point you only have 17 games left. So, it'd be nice if, can they get the last, 8-9 games of the year where everybody's back and they have a full complement of players healthy and ready to go? Would sure be nice if they could get their full complement of players. So they'll be back in action coming up tomorrow night. We will not be with you tomorrow night. We'll be with you on Friday. But Hawks will be back in action against Milwaukee. And I guess, it's like every night we'll see how many guys that they have. All right, Atlanta United, we said, coming up on Saturday. That's just the understory about what's going on. Let's head out to the waitfor.com hotline. Let's talk to our friend of the show. You hear him on the Fox Sports South calls for Atlanta United. Now you see him on Monday nights backstage for WWE Raw. Kevin Egan joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. On Twitter, @Kev_Egan. Kev, man, I've been so excited to want to get you on the show and talk to you, man. Congratulations, first off. Thrilled for you, and thanks for a few minutes tonight.
Oh, John, pleasure. How are you keeping, bud?
Man, we are good. Let's knock the Atlanta United part of it out. A couple of nice games. New manager, new roster. Yosef trying to get back in the mix. Hey, man, survive in advance. Good to see Atlanta United back on a winning track and now advancing in the CONCACAF.
Certainly. I'm playing some brilliant ball as well. Really exciting, good young players coming through. You mentioned Yosef returning. That may take a little bit of time before we see the real Yosef, the Yosef that has been able to bang in goals for fun in Major League Soccer. But under Gabriel Heinze, this team will have a philosophy and they will stick to that way no matter what. They will not back down. It doesn't matter win, lose, or draw. They will be fun to watch. They're going to be passionate. This guy is just so unbelievably passionate about the game that he loves. From his time with Argentina, or whether it's Paris, Manchester United, Real Madrid, Gabriel Heinze brings in a wealth of experience. But more importantly for Atlanta United fans, he has a track record of bringing through good, young, quality players from his time at Argentino Juniors and Vélez Sarsfield. And he's a hot commodity in the managerial world. So for Atlanta United to go and be able to get this guy, I think it was a huge coup. And already we're seeing signs that they brought in the right guys, and someone like a Santiago Sosa, who looks a really good ball player. So, John, I'm really excited for the season to get going this weekend and then for us to have our first broadcast on what is now called Bally Sports next Saturday evening. We've got the home opener against the Chicago Fire.
So how does this all come about with WWE? This is I got to be honest with you, Kevin. I love talking to you. You're one of my favorite guests to have on the show. You're so knowledgeable at what you do, and I really enjoy your work. And listen, you're talking to a guy who's been watching wrestling for almost 45 years. My first live wrestling was the WWF in 1984. So you're talking to a guy that's been around a long time, and I do some stuff with Teddy Long's school down in South Georgia. So I'm, you can't talk to a bigger fan of it and come across. Tell me a little bit about this opportunity and how this came to be, and just, now you're part of just something in a totally different realm for you.
Yeah, completely different world. The stage name, Kevin Patrick. Patrick is my middle name, so that's what I'm called on WWE. It's been such a wonderful little roller coaster for the last few months. Back in late December, I was contacted, a New York number called, and just wondering would I be interested in going for an audition. And it was through my agent was contacted by someone else who was headhunting on behalf of WWE, and I went for the audition, and I was lucky enough to get a call back and ask would I be interested in going further with it. So I feel just incredibly lucky, because it's such an unbelievably cool company to work for, but such a professional company to work for. Everybody's so passionate about what they do, and to be part of it, to have played a role in WrestleMania, you know, and to it's just in many ways in many ways it is a dream come true, you know, and I'm very aware of that. I'm so grateful, John.
Now, you and obviously I watched all of WrestleMania, and you were there. Kind of two parts. One is your experience at WrestleMania, and listen, it was great to have 25,000 fans, but where do you see WrestleMania or some of these events with, you know, 50, 60, 80,000 people? And second of all, Kevin, I was a little bit afraid. I thought maybe the New Day was going to make you try to take a bump, or they were going to try to get you playing a trombone or something over there. What was going on with that?
Yeah, so what happened was everybody was out on the stage at the start of WrestleMania, and you know, beautiful song to open up proceedings. Everybody was leaving the stage, and there was a huge crack of lightning. So, you know, we cover soccer for Atlanta United. We're well aware of lightning delays, mm-hmm. and that's what happened in Tampa Bay. So, I got a shout to say you're going to have to fill with myself and Sarah Schreiber. We'll have to be part of the team to quickly grab wrestlers and start to interview the superstars and interview, just have fun and try and get the most out of them before the match, the first match resumes, or the first match even gets underway. It was between Drew McIntyre and the WWE champion Bobby Lashley. So it was an experience. It was chaotic, but it was so well executed by everybody there. Couldn't help but be so proud to be part of that, because I don't think that was predicted at that moment in time. And I know we've weather trackers and radars and everything else like that, but it was just one big bolt that threw the spanner in the works, and the way everybody executed it was superb. So it was chaotic, but it was a lot of fun, and I got to speak with the New Day, got a good bump off Big E, who was in my face, you know, and he was passionate about what he was talking about, and certainly sticking up for the New Day ahead of their match against AJ Styles and Amos. And then speaking with Seth Rollins and KO Kevin Owens, it was mayhem, and in the best possible way.
Have you had a chance to meet Vince McMahon? Have you met and talked with Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
What's your impression?
Yeah, brief hello.
What's your impression?
Couldn't have been more polite. Could not have been more polite to me. And my experience so far has been truly excellent. I mean it sincerely. He just allowed me to do my job, and you know, when I first met him, just very polite and courteous and welcomed me to the company.
Now, please, Kevin, tell me that they're not going to try to rope you into doing something physical, are they? I mean, we need you for Atlanta United here. We got a long, you know, successful season coming up. I can't have you taking flat back bumps and, you know, taking, you know, Canadian destroyers and stuff. I need you ready to go, Kevin. So,
yeah, you know, John, I'm too soft for all that.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I will say this too in closing, that if you know, don't forget your friend here in Atlanta. If you get a chance to talk to Caleb Braxton, don't forget your friend here in Atlanta. Listen, I'm always here for you, Kevin. I'm your biggest supporter. So please, you know, don't be afraid to drop my name to her or anything like that. Not just say, you know, just in passing, you know, anything like that. So. No, Kevin, really appreciate it, buddy. Really congratulations to you, man. We will catch up here soon with you, you know, and get into some depth about United and everything. But wanted to spend a couple minutes and just tell you, man, it's awesome. You know, I'm a fan of yours already, and watching you on Monday night, just it's kind of surreal to see you out there. So congratulations again. Have fun with
you.
It. And, man, let's get another victory on Saturday and take it to Orlando City. We need to get back on track winning against Orlando City. I'm sick of them.
We will. Mark my words, this team will be good this year.
Yeah.
This team will be very good this year. I didn't feel that way about last year, but this year I really am so confident in the way this team plays and the way they're dead set on playing. So Atlanta United, get behind the team, folks. Enjoy the season under Gabriel Heinze. And cheers to you, John. Appreciate the kind words and all the best. You've got a class producer there in Jarvis behind the scenes doing great work.
Thanks, Kevin. We'll talk to you here soon. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Take care, John.
And by the way, he's on Twitter at Kev_Egan. You can follow him there for all the latest WWE, for Atlanta United. It is kind of surreal to think about our local, you know, play-by-play guy on Atlanta United is now, you know, interviewing. If you didn't see WrestleMania, by the way, he was having some fun with the New Day behind the scenes. Like, they with the weather delay, I think I explained this the other night. With the weather delay, they had to go out there. They had the guys go out there and cut promos. So normally those things are all scripted. This was, okay, we need everybody to just go off the cuff and talk a little bit. So he had the New Day, and Big E was supposed to wrestle Apollo Crews, so he's not part of the tag team. But all three of those guys were there, obviously, and they were having a little fun just kind of rubbing up against Kevin and bumping up a little bit against them. So good stuff there. Good stuff. Appreciate a few minutes with Kevin, as he's a really busy man right about now. All right, when we get back, let's get hot takey. Ready? Should the Braves sprinkle Kung Fu Panda into a few starts at third base with the struggles of Austin Riley? Ooh, hot takey time. It's all next. Chuckery hanging out with you here on a Dynamite Wednesday, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the audio Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on a Dynamite Wednesday evening. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. By the way, that is also our phone line. We're going to open up the phones at the top of the hour when we are here with you from a 7 to 11. We, at the 8 o'clock hour, do Challenge Chuckery, where I will give my thoughts. Jarvis will ask us a question. I'll give my thoughts on it. Then we open up the phone line. So if you want to comment, we are fan-friendly at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. So 404-741-0929, feel free to call us as well as text us. So, been some good conversation so far on the Solomon Rose Diamond text line. So, feel free to hit us up with a comment there. Odyssey.com app site, catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Braves down 1-0 already. You know, I guess what are we in the second inning right now? Top of the second inning. So, Braves already down a run in this game. So, you know, it's. No game is must-win right now, but you lose at least. You have a four-game set against the Marlins. You shouldn't be losing 3 out of 4 to the Marlins on your home field. Sorry, you just shouldn't. The Braves are too good of a team to be losing 3 out of 4. Yeah, and it can happen in baseball, but come on, man. I mean, you this is a much better team than what that Marlins team is out of it. So, you know, let's see what the Braves can do. They need to at least split this series over these next couple of games, get two victories, get ready to head into the Chicago for the Cubs. Cubs have kind of struggled, too. They've not been great this year. How's Kimbrel doing? Anybody check and see on Craig Kimbrel? Oh, okay. Oh. He's got 3 saves and 5 victories. Oh, okay. And given up a hit this year. Okay, all right. Is he done? Oh, anyway, sorry. I know. I so enjoy being the heel. if we're doing wrestling stuff, I so enjoy being the heel. Always want to be the bad guy. Forget being the good guy. Now, let's get hot takey, though. Obviously, one of the surprises for the Atlanta Braves this year has been the off-the-bench contribution that Pablo Sandoval has given this team. 2 homers, 4 RBI, couple of walks mixed into that, .333 batting average, .500 on-base percentage. Scored a couple of runs this year. So he's had a couple of nice big moments coming off the bench. Austin Riley this year, you know, we talked a little bit about this with Joe, and we've talked a little bit, you know, in general, that there are some things about Austin Riley that you see some improvements on. You know, one is the strikeouts per plate appearances. You know, as a rookie, he was striking out once every 2.75 plate appearances. Last year, you know, once only every 4.2 plate appearances. This year, it's a little bit more in the middle, once every 3.45. plate appearances. So he's certainly at least not striking out at any kind of alarming rate. If you look at his batting average of balls in play, you know, you could say that in some ways he's been robbed or this, that, and the other. You know, I think it's a .304 batting average this year when it's, you know, of the balls in play and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe he's had a little bit of bad luck, you know, here or there. But right now is, you know, we sit, you know, 11 games into the season. You know, baseball, like everything else in life, is a net results business. You can talk about sabermetrics and analytics and metrosexual stats and everything else that you want to, you know, throw out there. But in 11 games, he's got 3 runs scored, no homers, no doubles, no triples. He has no extra base hits thus far. He's drawn 2 walks and struck out 11 times, hitting .206 with a .289 on base percentage and only a .206 slugging percentage because he only has 7 singles, no extra base hits. Now, is it time to push the panic button or get concerned about Austin Riley? No. I feel like I always have to preface these things that nobody's trying to push the panic button. But much like when y'all told me about the Braves aren't going to tweak the lineup and this and the other, then 3 days later they tweaked the lineup, you know, out of all of it, would it make a little bit of sense to, against some right-handed pitching, throw Pablo Sandoval out there for a start here or a start there at third base? Now, obviously, one of the things that Austin Riley, I think, has done a much better job of in his time up in the majors has gotten better defensively. So if you're playing Kung Fu Panda, who did play some third base, by the way, last year, so this is not a foreign concept. Obviously, he made his bones. Was Sandoval the MVP of the league? Did he win the MVP? Let me look that up real quick. No, he finished 7th, was his best finish. He had a 7th place finish in 2009. So he has been a guy, obviously, that's made a couple all-star teams. He has been a third baseman. He did play a little bit, a handful. Oh, World Series MVP. Okay, all right. He did have a handful of games at third base last year, so he's played a little bit there. Now, look, this is not a matter of I want to platoon at third base. I don't think that's a good thing either when you've got a young guy like Austin Riley. I don't think playing platoon with him is a good idea either, playing lefty-righty, basically, with that. But I wonder if it wouldn't make sense right now to just break up a little bit of the idea of, you know, a start here, maybe a random start there, and really only against, you know, and I know I just said don't platoon, but what I'm talking about is one guy exclusive lefties, one guy exclusive righties when I say platoon, but let him have a start here or there against some right-handed pitching, and just if nothing else, I'm not expecting big things out of Pablo Sandoval. I think, you know, sometimes in those situations of pitch hitting, you kind of catch lightning in a bottle and, you know, you get the right guy and the right pitch and everything, and it all just kind of works out. But if nothing else, maybe just to kind of give Austin Riley a different look and just let him kind of sit and check some things out. Because I think a lot of us thought that Austin Riley was on a good trajectory, and I was one of those people that, you know, I think he projected out somewhere around 25, 26 homers this year. I thought he could hit that number, maybe go up a little bit higher. I think Joe Patrick Adams is like a 30-homer guy. I'm not sure he's really a 30-homer guy yet. Maybe he can be. One thing about Austin Riley is, you know, he's sort of that classic hitter nowadays, right? He's kind of home run or strikeout, it feels like. You know, when he makes contact, it can go a long way. When he gets a hold of one, he doesn't leave a whole lot of doubt that goes along with it. And look, I understand it's only an 11-game sample, but you'd figure guys like him would run into a pitch from a bullpen guy that doesn't have a whole lot of good stuff, or somebody throws an errant pitch and, you know, he whacks it out, because when he hits it, he can't put that thing a long way out there. So while I like the fact that he's at least a little bit more disciplined, I don't have the exact sabermetric numbers, but if you look at his strikeouts per plate appearance, they're not that terrible. They're down a little bit from the previous year. He does at least have a couple of walks this year, which, you know, look, may not, obviously it's not a big number, you know, that he has, but, you know, in 60 games last year, he only walked 16 times. He played 51 games. I should give it to him what his actual number was. He played 51 games last year and only drew 16 walks. So, you know, he's never going to lead the league in walks or anything like that. He's going to be a high strikeout kind of guy. But, you know, if he can get his discipline up a little bit. But why do you have Austin Riley as your third baseman and you know, what is his long term? It'd be to be like a fifth hitter, right? I think that's the hope, that long term Austin Riley is your number 5 hitter and he's another masher that's in the middle of your lineup. One of those guys that plays third base and he's a 30-homer, 100-RBI guy. And third base is his position. I think he's done a much better job defensively, as I said, think he's gotten better there. But he's supposed to be the Braves third baseman of the future, and he is. And long term, if he can be that number five hitter at third base and be a guy that's a protection to Marcell Ozuna or whoever else may be your cleanup hitter, whatever else may be in the mix over the next handful of years as your cleanup hitter, at least for the next few years, we expect it to be Marcell Ozuna. So I think that the hope is, you know, that he becomes that kind of protector to Marcell. I mean, you know, he's got the ability to be that big home run kind of hitter, obviously. We know that. You know, he hit 18 homers and 297 plate appearances in his, you know, rookie season and still, you know, had a respectable 8 homers and 206 plate appearances last year. So we know he's got plenty of power, and we saw that in the minors and everything else. So no issues there as far as that goes. But I wonder if it wouldn't be a bad idea to sit him, a start here and a start there and see if you can catch a little bit, especially early in the season. Because let's face it, what you worry about, guys, remember a whole bunch of years ago, and he had been here for a little while, remember when the Braves signed Troy Glaus to play third base? And Troy Glaus, Jarvis, had a really nice first half of the season for the Braves. He actually was very productive at third base. And then, you know, in wrestling we say, and then the bell rang. Well, then the second half of the season started. And as a little bit older guy, he started breaking down and this, that, and the other. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to throw Kung Fu Panda in a couple of starts and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle early in the season, especially for a lineup that, let's face it, has had its struggles through the middle of the order. You've had two guys that have really provided the power and run production in this lineup. You know, if you can catch a little bit of lightning in a bottle, turn your tide a little bit, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea. We get back. It will be time for Challenge Chuckery. You can be a part of it at 404-741-0929. Jarvis will ask the question. I'll give my thoughts. You can give yours as well. Hanging out in the studio, Kia Studios, on a Dynamite Wednesday, Sports Radio 910 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.